Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to find your inner truth or higher self. I am most delighted today to welcome Barbara Marks Hubbert, a force for social consciousness, innovation, and global activism, and author of her newest book, The Evolutionary Testament of Co-Creation, which is an in-depth examination of the gospel according to Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, which reveals Jesus' teachings not as a religious doctrine, but as a means to offer to society new solutions to the impending dangers and challenges of our century. Ms. Hubbert suggests Jesus was not only a revolutionary force, but an evolutionary guide, showing us how to achieve the Christ state as individuals and part of the human race, developing a higher awareness of self, the universe, and as protectors of the earth. Hello, Barbara, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Barbara, as listeners of Healing From Within know, my guests and I share our experiences and insights into the true nature of our spiritual and physical components in order to recognize the eternal source of life that is our birthright, leading to higher consciousness as citizens of the universe, or as you call them, natural Christs, who carry within the complete story of creation and the wisdom to rediscover this divine spark of universal energy, which can enable us to have a more refined human experience. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Barbara Marks Hubbert shares an evolutionary perspective on Christ, seeing in Christ an archetype for humanity's current journey from egocentric to ego freedom, and for each of us to become the enlightened and refined citizens of the future, empowered with capabilities and capacities through the use of science and technology that could revolutionize the world. We've already been changed by new capacities as well as world crises, and the time is now to evolve towards a higher order of love, creativity, or possibly self-destruct. We will discuss today the many possibilities for creating a new society of people and a world that will not fight each other, pollute the earth, or overpopulate, and will use advances in biotechnology, nanotechnology, robotics, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, accessing zero-point energy, and space travel. And all that, and then we will be enlightened, and we will be reach our true potential. Barbara, I often love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and a dream, a memory, an experience, a glimpse of the adult you were meant to be, because I feel the adult is already within the heart of the child, only waiting to grow into its fullest form. What comes to mind from childhood?
Well, let's see. The one thing that has motivated me, I was 15, I was an adolescent, is when the United States dropped the atomic bombs on Japan. And I was, before that, a very happy child. You know, I was living in New York City, going to Dalton School. My mother died when I was 12, and that was a terrible shock. So my happiness more or less ended with her death. But I began to be angry at death. And I remember I got angry at God. And I was, when my mother was dying of breast cancer with four children and mastectomies and all that, I said, God, just take my life for her. Mm. You know, we've got four children here, just take it. And I demanded that God took my life instead of hers. Well, it turned out he didn't.
Yeah.
Then
we all have a plan and a time to come and go, yes? And that was very loving of you, but it wasn't your destiny.
Mm. It wasn't. But what I remember was the anger at God and the feeling also that it wasn't normal that people got that sick and was that painful. It wasn't normal that people should torture each other or animals. And then I began to think, there's something wrong with us.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's not just wrong with God, but wrong with us.
Absolutely.
Or maybe both. And then I began to think, well, does God have any intention to come out of this mess? And then when the United States dropped the bombs on Japan, not only, of course, as a little girl, had my mother died, but I had this feeling, oh, my God, we could destroy all life. Because if we stay in self-centered consciousness, competing and winning and killing each other, then we will destroy the whole world, not just a few others. So
yeah.
Then,
so you started to have a sense that this competition and this sense of destruction was not right. We needed to be more cooperative and more loving and come together, unified.
We did. Mm-hmm. And so then, getting over my anger at God, getting over my shock for the moment of this horror of the bombs, I asked God a question. God, what is the meaning of all our new power that's good?
Mm-hmm.
Science, technology, industry. What are images of the future equal to our new power? And I want you to know I didn't literally believe in God, but God was a word I just used for the universal process, whatever it was.
Well, I think it was a sense that you knew within yourself that you wished to see a different reality, and you had the ability and the hope and the love to be able to give that out. So that was your sense of God, what you could bring into creation or coexistence with a force of creation. Yeah, and that's what it is.
I think I felt the force of creation deeply inside me. And that is what we all have inside us. So to make a very long story short, I come from a Jewish, agnostic, secular, competitive, materialistic business family. So the last thing I got from my father or family was God. In fact, I asked him, you know, what was the morality that we should follow? He said, just get out there and win.
Get a job, in other words.
Well, not even just a job, but he said, don't be too smart or you'll never get a husband.
Oh, I do remember hearing something along that road, too. And I also come from a Jewish family. And not a very religious, so it was a similar viewpoint. And we were those children who were seeking something completely different from the material world. We were seeking beauty and kindness and goodness.
I know.
You know what kind of kid I was? I used to think that anything that was possible in my mind, I could create, and every one of us could create. So when I watched Star Trek, and I saw that transporter and those people go in and be changed into molecules and float through time and space, I said, oh, I hope I live to see that.
Well, you know, that's the thing. If you then, to take a big jump to encountering Jesus,
yes,
I was trying to write a book on the future of humanity, and I got lost, and I got to a little monastery in Santa Barbara, saw a big cross there, and saw hang gliders jumping off a higher mountain in butterfly-colored wings above the cross. And the image that I got was mass metamorphosis. St. Paul had said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Well, I said, we are all being changed. And then the inner words were, Barbara, if you love God above all else, your neighbor as yourself, yourself as a natural Christ, combined with science and technology, you will all be changed. I want demonstrations now, Barbara. So I thought, this is really exciting that God has created the new powers. Through the intelligence of humanity, through the Einsteins of the world, which, if we use them for the good, will naturally transform our species. And if we use them for power, we'll destroy ourselves. So it was the moment of conscious evolution due to the power to destroy and create. And it was then that I was motivated to go in and look at the New Testament. And when I looked at it, I opened it, I realized, oh my God, it's coming true. The promise is being kept. Jesus said, you will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will you do in the fullness of time. Well, that's what's happening. We are going, you know, we are turning into the ability. We have already left this earth alive. We have immediate communication almost instantaneously around the world. We're able to materialize and dematerialize as holograms. If you start adding up all our new capacities, then say this is what Jesus did or said we would do, even a bigger jump, go through the crucifixion, the 3 days in the tomb of metamorphosis, and then he appears in a new body that is evidently able to materialize and dematerialize, if we just take it literally for the moment. Literally, he, through Mary Magdalene, said, you're going to become new. And I saw that if we actually use all these new capacities with love, we are new. We are new already.
Well, actually, you wrote there that you realized, that you wrote in your book that the person who could indeed handle all our awesome powers for the good would be a natural Christ. So this is the evolution of each of us in these times now. It's been happening for a while, and it will continue to happen. One who can embody the qualities Jesus demonstrated so beautifully throughout his life, which was gratitude, humility, love of nature, man, and God equally, for women and children, living simply and sharing all he had with others and radiating hope and healing wherever it was needed. So it was moving beyond self to awareness of the connectedness of all life, moving past fear and greed and the negative emotions that crippled you and I as children, because we had all the other imbued values within our soul and our heart, and that was the natural Christ spirit or awareness or consciousness. And we go on to think about, yes, the promise is being fulfilled because we're all the sons and daughters of this divine energy or co-creative force. And we walk in the path of love. And that's what Jesus was here to show us. That's so simple, what he was here to show us. So why do you call Jesus the greatest evolutionary who ever lived? What was his true message and hope for humanity, going beyond the religious thoughts of that time or this time?
Here's what I've begun to feel is so, that he actually manifested a new human, and that he had all these new capacities inherent in him. He did not need the computer and the airplane and all of that. He incarnated the capacities that we now have externalized in our technologies. So the new human is one who internalizes the new capacities, as well as using them externally. I mean, we're using this. I'm on a cell phone taking a walk in Berkeley, California. Now, how does that happen?
That happened from the inspiration from above. They wanted us to get closer together. So this
but
is
not
one
only
form.
That, dear, just think of the cell phone itself in your hand holding the information of the world. You can Google any question, any answer, anything that anybody ever knew about anything in the palm of your hand. If you take that personally, it's just like having a thumb. You know, if we didn't have a thumb, we wouldn't be doing any of this. If we didn't have a larynx, we wouldn't be talking. So the science and technology has given us these extensions of our capacity. And what I've done in the model of Jesus inspiration to me to incarnate science and technology as an extended personal capacity combined with the love of Christ, then I am a new being, and I'm calling it Homo Universalis. And I'm inviting others who feel that they are that to come together with me in the Foundation for Conscious Evolution and explore the emerging human and the emerging humanity, not only in the model of Jesus, but using the sacred text. And that you can also call on Buddha and Krishna and others who hold different qualities of the emerging human. So, you know what? I'm going for it the whole way.
Absolutely. You know, when I was first delving into this mystery unfolding piece by piece before my eyes and coincidences and synchronicity, I heard in my heart certain words, time and space and beloved and hope and faith and trust, and it was becoming clear to me, as to you, that we were at the next stage of human evolution, and we can acknowledge the potential that's lying dormant within ourselves. Now, you channeled this and you wrote, "Forgive yourselves of all past error, forgive the world of all mistakes, focus your total attention on what you can become. Natural Christ, universal humans doing the," I love that term, natural Christ, "universal humans doing the work I did and even greater works than I did." And then what's going to happen? The Spirit of God is coming into it. It's there anyhow, but it's descending even greater. And that's when I started to cry, because I thought of the song by Jerry Vale, my beloved, you are my beloved. And I feel so close to above and to the highest forms of all love that are so hard to realize in this time and place. And when I read what you wrote, "And you will hear a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved in whom I am well pleased," I started to cry, because I've heard it in my heart many, many times. And you expressed it as we are becoming aware of who we are as natural Christs. It was very beautiful to me.
I want to say something here that's very important, is the word being an evolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
See, most people are not aware that they are evolutionaries. Everyone is, because we are evolution made conscious. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. And we are affecting our evolution by everything that we do, because we're aware that we could destroy our life support system or evolve it. So this generation of humans is very special, because we didn't have the power to destroy the whole world until very recently.
Now
we could destroy small parts of it, but now we literally can blow it all up. We can evolve it. And so this species is either very young or just becoming a new species. I'm not sure which to say. But it's new in the sense that the new capacities are radically new. And so you add the new capacities to the consciousness that we are co-created with the divine, that we are responsible, able to respond to the crises we have co-created without even knowing we were creating it. You know, it's a very, very exciting moment.
Yes, and if we refuse to notice these patterns and do not change, we're going to cease evolving and stagnate, and all opportunities will evade us. So the choice is ours, and the truth is known. And I just read in the Times Magazine, I want to pose a question to you. Wheaton College in Illinois was threatening to fire one of their teachers for putting on Facebook, "Christians and Muslims worship the same God." Well, you and I know there's only one universal evolutionary force. We were talking about what God is earlier, and people still have so many different ways to approach this. But what's going on now in the world over in the Middle East, where this Sharia law, which they say is a downloading of God's message, where they can subjugate women and children and mutilate people and allow girls of 9 years old to be married. It's not a natural, loving God or the New Testament that you and I are talking about here. So, yes, we all have the same God and the same evolutionary force, but doctrines and rigidity in thinking take us away from that. So how can we get people to think about this timely and challenging situation, get back more to the truth of what Jesus was saying and what evolution and higher consciousness and natural Christ force is really directing us to do?
Well,
How do we
you
get
have
there?
well, just to think of where we are, the Muslim people who are more in their deep, I would say, culture that we would call in our culture fundamentalists. Now, we have
Yes.
fundamentalist Christians, and if you go back to the Middle Ages, we had the church in charge with the Inquisition that was doing much worse than the Muslims ever did. I mean, torturing people in actual extremely horrible ways.
That is true, but Christianity has evolved as have most of the
Okay,
religions.
so just listen for a minute. So the within Christianity still there's a form of different form of fundamentalism where they don't kill people and they don't burn them alive and they don't do that, but the anger and the separation is still encoded in there, but they're not in power. That's a big deal. Now, in the Muslim countries, the higher level of Muslim intelligence, which is there, has not really guided their culture recently. So the genius of the Muslim culture is not operative in their culture
Yes.
right now. And they have instead the most reactionary parts of their culture, like ISIS,
Right.
has taken charge and said, we're going for apocalyptic death. And we have been on crusades. We've done a lot of very, very violent stuff on Christian. But now this is the turn of the Muslims to deal with this more than anyone else needs to deal with it.
Well,
They need to
they
deal with it.
need to evolve past that, old philosophy or rigidity. But the next question here is, what is the alternative to Armageddon as inspired by Jesus? And that will answer what they need to do. What is the alternative?
Asking some wonderful, wonderful questions. Here's what I would like to offer as the alternative to Armageddon is a planetary Pentecost. It's a time on Earth when enough people who already feel just exactly like you and I do,
Yes.
who are basically lovers of creation, were to be connected via internet. We would affect the consciousness field of Earth to greater love. And in the Teilhard de Chardin, who was a brilliant Catholic Jesuit who wrote The Phenomenon of Man, he felt that when the noosphere, mind sphere, global brain sphere, gets its collective eyes and becomes aware of exactly what you and I are talking about, and we're not rabid mystics, we're actually more or less ordinary people. We feel
Yes.
this way. And so do millions and millions of others. So there are enough of us, if we feel it together, speak it together, say it together, call it in together, what I think happens, as it happened in the first Pentecost, and people will begin to hear from within, in their own voices, the inner words of God.
Thank
They'll
you.
be
Thank
a
you very much for those beautiful words. So I think by becoming more interdependent, we will have a synergy that's going to join together the separate parts and bring together and move us past competition and allow us to be our natural force. And then the kingdom of God and the rest will follow. And
the
that
rest
is,
will follow.
yeah, thank you very much for that. I feel at peace hearing that. And Barbara, you wrote in regard to the vision of our future. You wrote this. Our current environmental crisis represents the fulfillment of the scriptural time of sorrows and tribulations. It heralds the end of the world as we know it. During this crisis, we will weed out the unworkable from the workable and prepare for a future equal to our full potential. The scattered spiritual pioneers of Earth must align and support each other's planetary work at this critical time in history. We are everywhere. We cross all barriers of race, class, religion, culture, ideology, color, and age. All who choose of our own free will to demonstrate with our lives and our desire to follow the way, to be the way towards full humanity. shall be transformed. If therefore your eye be clear, your whole body shall be full of light. And that was from Matthew and Luke. So we want to let our gaze and our heart and our energy take us past these troubling times and actually repent or change our mind, be dissatisfied with our present incomplete condition, and find that state of being that is greater than we have yet realized, which you wrote. Find that state of being that is greater than what we have realized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's so true. I must say, that writing, I want to say, was not channeled. It was what I think of as coming through higher mind, which is to say there's a form of knowing that is direct knowing of truth. It's not channeled from some other entity. There are a few phrases in the book, Evolutionary Testament, that come from a Christ voice that I heard, but most of it comes from my own expanded knowing and the words in the New Testament, because they were describing as best they could a being of another order of magnitude, Jesus. You know, it's like if we were to land on a planet, just beginning to read and talk, and we landed in our spacecraft and we got out and we had our cell phones and all, they would think we were gods.
Well, so perhaps, since we have the divine spark and connection to that creative force within us since the time of our birth, perhaps we are.
They think they would think if they were way back in technology and we landed with all of our instruments, we would look like God. So Jesus actually had powers that we are now beginning to have, but he tried not to look like a God. He tried to look like a carpenter.
I want to thank you, Barbara Marks Hubbard, author of The Evolutionary Testament of Co-Creation, for sharing the words of the past in the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, and the Epistles, and your own eloquently written interpretation of such passages, along with channeled messages from Spirit and from within your own heart, as a way to truly understand the evolutionary intention of Jesus and all in those times and now who see his message as the way to become the master of our soul. To purchase this book and begin or broaden your own evolutionary process, please go to Amazon.com or BarbaraMarksHubbard.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Barbara and I have shared our experiences as we were guided and taught from those above to open our hearts and minds to recognize the value of our physical life journey as a means to remember and delve into the mystery and wisdom of the ages and the stars, to know that we are much more than we can know and must use our intuition and love for life to evolve into the best version of ourselves, to honor the words and works of past soul messengers like Jesus, who said, "You will do the work that I do, even greater work shall you do in the fullness of time." Jesus was calling out to us to live up to our true potential as human beings. Barbara and I would have you become the living example of that inner unfolding of personal power, higher consciousness and awareness, to know that we are the willing co-creators with the divine, natural Christs, or the embodiment of our highest potential self, a future human being. The future is here. And when you claim your right to be that empowered version of a creative force for love, you, the world, and universe will be one. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to the collective group of seekers for ways to improve life on all levels as we become the version of our human potential that will be a blessing and joy. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.